Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
Welcome back. It's 13 After. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with a maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the guys who helps me do that is Brad Huskin. He's our friend, and he's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, Realistic Strategies to Increase Your Sales. Brad's been in sales for a long, long time, almost as long as I have. Since that time, he's been directly involved in all aspects of sales and sales management. He's often called the Mike Ditka of selling. I'm not sure if it's because he's big and broad and he's mean or what. We're going to tell us about that again in a minute. And, as I said, he is our friend. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. It's good to have you with us. And I know they call you the Mike Ditka of selling. Somebody called you that once.
Yeah, somebody called me that once. They,
were you offended?
No, not at all. I think Ditka does a great job, and he's very inspirational, very motivational.
Yeah.
Just gets the job done.
So. I agree. No, I wouldn't have been offended either. Let's talk about, Brad, I know one of the things that you got on your mind is some of the things that's happening in the marketplace. A lot of people think, and you and I have grown up hearing this the concept of bigger is better.
That's right.
And all the big box companies out there, the home improvement companies, the retail companies, the wholesale companies, you know, they build, and then amazingly, it's almost like the new sport utility vehicles. They just keep building them bigger and bigger and more grotesque. You know, don't you think that? Don't you, when you see these new SUVs, don't they just look more and more grotesque? They don't look nicer. They don't even look just bigger. They look more grotesque. And sometimes I feel that that's what's going on with the big box companies. And inside, whenever I see another huge monstrosity being built, I don't see small business problems. I see small business opportunity.
Well, so do I. And I believe that those big box stores, while they tout customer service and all those things, I really don't believe that they provide the customer service that the customer of today is actually looking for.
Well, and listen, to be fair, it's not even their model.
No, it isn't.
It's not even their plan.
They're going after the price-conscious, values-conscious, budget-conscious shopper. Load them up with as much as you can and get them out the door.
Yep.
And I really believe that people are looking for good customer service. They're looking for a friend in the business. They're looking for somebody they can go to with answers to their questions and some how-tos.
Well, you recently had an experience with a company like that, didn't you?
Well, yes, I did. We had bought a computer and a printer and a monitor and a couple of software programs. And as you know, I travel a lot, so we hooked up the computer. And it was about 40 days before we got around to actually taking the software programs back.
Mm-hmm.
And the company wouldn't take it back because we'd had it for more than 30 days. So suddenly I'm out $105 because of their policy. And this was actually my wife that tried to return it, and she asked to see the manager. And when she did that, the lady that she was dealing with opened the seal on the software program.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the assistant manager, some other person, came over and started talking to her and said, well, you can't return this. The seal's been opened. And you've had it for more than 30 days. And she said, no, I didn't open the seal. Your sales clerk opened the seal. And it got rather ugly from there. And needless to say, my wife asked to talk to the manager, and manager said he was busy, she'd have to wait. So after 30 minutes, she got disgusted and left. And it just goes to show you that they don't have customer service on their mind.
Well, unfortunately, you can find that kind of customer service in all kinds of companies. That can happen in a lot of different places, but it's not as likely to happen, we would hope and we would think, in a small company. And the point we're making here, folks, is that Brad and I are making is that that's the kind of thing that you shouldn't be getting from a small business.
Well, absolutely. And the big businesses, I don't believe the people working in the stores have a personal vested interest in each and every customer. They don't realize the value of a customer. They don't realize over the long term how much that customer may spend with them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the small businessman, it's to his advantage to take care of the customer and provide great customer service, be a little bit liberal on their policies, just to win the customer back again.
Well, I know a story where a little home improvement company built some screens for a lady and put it in the back of her pickup truck. And on the way, laid them flat in the back of the pickup truck, and on the way home, half of them blew out and were destroyed, or at least they were ruined so bad that they couldn't be used again. And the lady brought them back, and she didn't complain. She just said, "These blew out. I have to have some new ones, please." And so she didn't demand anything. I'm thinking probably that she you know was hoping maybe we would do something, but she didn't ever did say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the report I got from some employees and of this company, and so the result was that when it came time to pay for the ones that were damaged, the person in charge said, "There's no charge for this, ma'am." It wasn't a huge expense anyway for anybody.
Right.
They're not very expensive items. And she said, "Oh, thank you. By the way, would you please make me 20 more?" And you know what? We won't be able to run that customer off. That business will not be able to run that customer off. And it probably cost that business, you know, just a few dollars to basically deliver excellent customer service.
Well, it does only cost a few dollars, and many companies don't realize how much it costs them to get a customer in the door. I believe in too many instances businesses are running off customers in droves, but they only win them back one at a time.
One of the things that really upsets me, and I see this in all size businesses, And my audience knows that I talk about this whenever I get a chance, and that is the way we actually treat these customers. And I don't mean the issue that's at hand. I don't mean whether to return an item or not. I mean just being pleasant. I mean just looking people in the eye. I'm talking about saying thank you for telling us that you had this problem. We want to make sure that we fix this. Or how about just thank you for your business? Now, there are people who've been listening to me for a long time may be tired of hearing me say that, but I'm going to say that as long as I live, as long as I draw breath, I'm going to say, whatever you do, please be sure to say to your customers, thank you for your business, because they can always go somewhere else.
Well, that's one of the issues that I've been really getting antsy about lately. We can certainly talk about that more over the break, but I think
yeah.
Situations that are very aggravating.
Stand by, Brad. I want to talk about that when we come back. And we got some more things, folks, to talk to you about as far as customer service and salesmanship. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255.
On the cloud, I'm not in the
We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Brad Heaskin is our special guest and our very good friend. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, now a PhD. Brad, tell us where this book is available.
Well, the book is available through my offices at 1-800-248-7703.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it at Amazon.com.
Okay, good. Check that out, folks. It's an excellent book. If you're trying to improve your own sales skills, if you're trying to help your salespeople, this book will help you. It's a great resource. Our phone number, folks, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question for me or for Brad, 888-822-8255. Brad, we were talking about how to outcompete the big box companies, and some of the things that, you know, when a small business person looks at the big box companies coming in and everything, they say, you know, all right, what can I do? I'm going to increase my advertising budget. I'm going to increase my product line. I'm going to lower my prices so I can be more competitive with them price-wise. And all those things cost money. Instead of doing some of the things that they could do first, it wouldn't cost them any money.
Well, and you're exactly right. They just need to get back to the basics of understanding why people buy and what they're looking for when they're shopping. And one of the things that amazes me is I don't care what kind of business it is that people are dealing with, but I tell the salespeople I train that they're not really coming in looking for your merchandise or for your service. I absolutely believe they're looking for a place and a person
mm-hmm.
to buy that service from. And until we understand that the ultimate goal every time we confront a customer isn't necessarily to make a sale, but to make a friend, and a sale will happen along the way, then we're going to be much more successful.
Absolutely. And, you know, my advice is find out what that company, that big box company, doesn't have. Make sure you have it and raise the price.
Absolutely.
Don't lower the price, raise the price.
Find out what their policies are and then be more liberal on it.
There are things, if you could talk to the people who are merchandising those big box companies, there are things that you could ask them if they have, and they would say, no, we don't have that. We won't be carrying that. That's not our business model.
That's exactly right.
And so they don't have everything. Now, one of the things about it, more than likely, that big box company is going to be successful. And they're going to take some of your sales. But they don't have to take all of them. And remember this, and Brad, I know that you talk about this a lot. It's not what you make, it's what you keep.
That's exactly right.
Your sales line, your top line may come down, but your bottom line could go up at the same time.
That's exactly true. And you just got to find out where their weakness is. And normally the weakness is in personnel, because they just simply can't or don't spend the time and the effort and the money to train their people. And it amazes me going to some of these stores and nobody knows how to sell the merchandise. In other words, they don't know what the features are and the benefits are and can't answer all the questions that consumers have, to where the small guy can certainly do that.
You know, I went into a big box video store a while back, and I try to do business with some of the smaller ones, and lately I haven't gotten as much assistance from these people as I'd like. You know, I don't know what you do, but when you go rent a video, don't you kind of, if it's a movie that you're not familiar with, don't you go up to the counter or if the clerk's nearby, say, have you seen this movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Most of us have done that.
Right.
And so I went to this big box video store,
mm-hmm.
and a young lady, like an 18-year-old young lady walked by, and I said, what do you know about this movie? And she gave me a tour. And it wasn't, she didn't tell me the story, she gave me her critique. She was like a movie critic.
Wow.
And then she sort of stayed with me, and she walked me around and said told me about this movie and that movie. I was so impressed. And she wasn't there because the big box company had all these people like her. She was the only one there like that. They just lucked up and found that good employee, and that's the kind of model I think that small business owners should have, and I will go back there as long as she's there, because she will help me.
Well, that's the whole thing, Jim, and I've been on this kick lately with the small businesses that I work at, that you better sit down and brainstorm what your competitive advantages are. And if I was to say to you, why should I buy from you as opposed to buying from that big box store, you better be able to list 10, 15, 20, 25 different things.
Yep.
And then be able to verbalize those to your customers and start selling against the big boxes before they even get there.
And make sure that not only you as the owner knows, but your people know, every single one, including the brand new hire, the person who just joined you. Because you never know when they'll have an opportunity to tell somebody why they should do business with you. Stand by, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Brad will be back with us when we come back. It's 29 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Houston is our guest and our very good friend. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and his outstanding weekly newsletter called Sales Insights. Brad, tell us about that.
Every week I publish a newsletter called Sales Insight that has a little tip or a thought of the day or a thought of the week that we fax out every Friday.
It comes out by fax, and it's a one-pager, folks. It's not an epistle.
Yeah, it's a very short, designed to give you a topic to have a sales meeting on every week.
Right.
And it's you can't beat the price. It's free.
Absolutely. Tell us how we can get it.
Well, you can call our offices at 1-800-248-7703, or you can just fax in a request at 303-936-9581.
Doesn't it usually show up on Friday?
Every Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Sprint Fridays free, so what the heck.
All right. I get mine, and folks, I use them. I really recommend it. I like it because it's short and to the point. It's got one key point that'll help you be more successful. It's called Sales Insight.
and it's free. Give us the number again.
800-248-7703.
Okay. You were telling me earlier during one of the breaks about an experience that you observed, something you observed a salesperson doing in a jewelry store once.
Well, we were talking about the lack of personal interaction with your customers, and I had a situation the other day where I was mystery shopping a jewelry store for a client. I saw a guy sell a $5,000 ring and took the customer up to the cash wrap counter and wrapped the ring for him in a gift box, and it was all nice and everything was dandy. And as he took the money from the customer, he said, "Your receipt's in the bag." And the customer proceeded to say, "Okay, well, thank you very much." And the sales guy said, "Not a problem."
I hate that term.
Not a problem.
I'm afraid maybe I have said it once or twice in my life, but when I do, I hate it when I do. That is a horrible, horrible thing to say to a customer.
Well, it's like role reversal. Shouldn't the salesperson really be thanking the customer rather than the customer thanking the salesperson? And I had a situation very similar recently. I went out and went to dinner with my staff here in the office, and we were celebrating the anniversary of the company. And we spent $300 on dinner and refreshments.
Mm-hmm.
And the wait person dropped down that little tray, and I didn't even think to look at it. I just threw my credit card down, and he brings the tray back, and he looks me in the eye and says, "The yellow copy's yours," and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick up the bill, and I was a little sticker shocked to see that we'd spent that much money. But, you know, he expected a $60 tip, and he couldn't look me in the eye and say, "Thank you very much. Looked like you guys were celebrating something. Hope you had a great time and come on back."
Yeah.
Instead, he just said, "The yellow copy's yours." So I wrote on the
Don't let the door hit you in the backside on your way out.
Right. So I wrote on the tip line.
And if you feel something hit you in the back on the way out, it's probably your change.
That's exactly right. So I wrote on the tip line, "Get out of the business." That was his tip of the day.
Good. Did you really?
No, I didn't.
I wish you had.
I actually gave him 10% and let the manager know.
Good for you.
Yep.
What did the manager say?
Well, he said he'd take care of the problem, but...
Was he mortified?
Not really.
Not as much as he should have been.
His reaction wasn't what I would hope it would be, but that's the way of the world today. And
if we see
something different and something special as a small businessman, then we can stand out and we can be very successful in this world.
I am one voice crying in the night about this, and I'm going to be as long as I draw breath. That is wrong, folks. That is wrong. That is wrong. There are too many places for people. There are too many options for people to spend their money on, and they don't have to spend it with you. And I don't think you have a choice. I think you have to just customer service your customers within an inch of their life.
Absolutely. Own them, not. I read an interesting book. Maybe you've read it, called Raving Fans by Kenneth Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles.
Mm-mm.
He and I are basically saying the same thing. I just say it a little bit differently. And the book says that you can no longer, as a salesperson, make it your goal to satisfy a customer, because a satisfied customer will get you only a sale for today. But through the long term, if we can make them raving fans, it will get us a business for tomorrow as well.
Well, if you've got to spend money to get a customer to come to see you, advertising, marketing, whatever it might be, and you can't afford to spend the money to get them in one time, then have to spend the money to get them in all over again.
Absolutely.
You can't afford. Not only can you not afford it, it's bad business. Once you get them in your building, I tell my employees, once they literally go to the trouble to pick up the phone and call us, once they go to the extreme trouble to come into our building, please make sure that they know that we are so excited and we appreciate it so much that they came to do business with us. Now, you don't have to fawn all over them, but you know, in today's world, Brad, it's almost as if you just say thank you before they do, you've almost like won the war.
Absolutely. And I say that in order to build personal trade, repeat, and referral business, you really need to establish trust and value. And value is nothing more than a perception in the customer's mind. And trust is learning how to sell yourself in the store. And that's the one big advantage that the independent merchant or businessman has against the big boxes, is the big boxes sell based on value only, and the small independent can do both trust and value and win the customers back over and over and over again.
And don't forget that the fulfillment of why they came into your business is probably a whole lot closer to their automobile than the big box companies is.
I would guess it would be.
I mean, at least you don't have to go on a hike to get to your the product or service that you have to sell.
That's right.
Right? In fact, probably some businesses, they may not have to go anywhere. You might come to them. Stand by, Brad. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the untapped resource, referrals. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check that out. And, folks, I'll remind you that we have a feature on that site which allows you to listen to this show on demand whenever you want for the next 24 hours until it's replaced with tomorrow's show. And so if you miss part of this visit with Brad or the earlier hour with Gary Moore, just click on that site and click on my website and go to the on-demand feature, click on that, and you'll be listening right away. Brad Huskin is our guest. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and that book is available online at Amazon.com, and also the phone number that he's going to give you, which is also, you can order the book, but you can also order his outstanding weekly faxed newsletter. Go ahead, Brad.
The number is 800-248-7703.
Okay. Brad, you work with a lot of, I know one of the industries that you work with primarily is the jewelry industry.
Yes.
And can you give us about 30 seconds of what you do for these people?
Well, basically, there's a couple different things. I represent a nationwide organization called Skull & Company, S-C-U-L-L, which isn't a head game thing. That's actually a gentleman's name.
His name is Skull?
What's that?
His name is Skull?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a national organization as a research group. They get together in non-competing markets and compare information and notes and statistics and those types of things, and I'm their human resources director.
All right.
And then I go out and do consulting in the stores and sales training with the salespeople and the sales management and the managers and the owners. And then a diamond company recently hired me to go out and train all of their dealers. So I'm real excited about
Congratulations.
That opportunity as well.
Sure. Folks, that gives you an idea about how much in demand Brad is in the marketplace. And another example of what I've said so many times, I don't have chopped liver on this show, only the best for my audience.
Well, and I don't like to toot my own horn a little bit at all, but I've had my own business now for 3.5-4 years, and I've never spent a nickel on advertising. And
Well, now you're making my radio stations mad.
It just proves.
They don't like to hear that.
But it just proves, Jim, that it's personal trade, repeat business, and referral business that is the key today.
Well, it is, and no question about it. And all advertisers know how important referrals are.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to talk about for the rest of the hour, if we could, Brad, is referrals. This is another example of how you can be successful without spending a nickel.
Well, in the jewelry industry, for example, I tell them that I know for a fact that if one guy that hangs out with a group of 5 or 6 guys is getting engaged, the likelihood that 3 or 4 of his buddies are getting engaged real soon is pretty gosh darn good. And if one woman out of a group of 5 or 6 women is getting engaged, chances are pretty good 3 or 4 of her girlfriends are getting engaged
as
well.
That's right. They run in packs, don't they?
They certainly do. And if they're not asking, gosh, who else do you know that may be getting married, or I'd love to meet that person, could you give them one of my cards, then we're not maximizing that potential sales opportunity.
Well, don't forget, especially if you're selling something that other people will see. I mean, if you sell underwear, then you're probably not going to get too many underwear referrals. But if you sell diamonds, if you sell cars, if you sell tires or clothes or have a restaurant or whatever, someone says, you know, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, we went to so-and-so.
Right.
You know, did you have a good time? Oh, it was great. Service was great. That's the first thing people ask you, then. How was the service?
Absolutely.
And you say, yeah, listen, you should go check those people out. And the reason the guy says that is because when he left, the owner said, please be sure to, did you have a good time? Yeah, well, please be sure to tell your friends about us.
Well, that's the whole name.
He asked for a referral.
Ask for a referral.
That's all it costs.
Or at least invite people to invite their friends,
mm-hmm.
depending on the kind of business you have. And as you just said, you know, you thank the customer, sincerely thank them, let them know how much you enjoyed coming in and meeting them. Please tell your friends if you have anybody that's interested in my product or service. I'd love to meet them.
The level of customer service in America has sunk to such an incredible low, in my opinion, and I hate to be negative, but this is one of the things I am negative about, has gotten so bad in America that you have an opportunity to absolutely be a shining beacon in the marketplace. People are hungry, Brad, I think, they're hungry to find and to develop a relationship with a merchant of any kind that they can get excited about and look forward to going back to. Don't you think so?
Well, that was one of my recent sales insights. The title was Give Them What They Least Expect. And where I said a few minutes ago, I absolutely believe that customers aren't necessarily looking for your product or service. They're looking for a place and a person to buy it from. And just as you said, service is so bad, I don't think they know it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a place and a person to buy from, but they don't know it anymore. And when we remind them how good service can be, or we provide the great service, they're actually freaked out. And it just causes them to come back in over and over again because the service is so outstanding.
Well, and if you haven't thought about this, if you as a consumer, folks, when you're wearing the consumer hat, you're not selling, you're buying. Just remember the last time that you saw someone really go the extra mile. It could have been in a big box company. This is not about companies, is it, Brad? This is about individuals.
It's about individual salespeople and their success. And even in the big box company or the major stores or the major conglomerates, there are some bright and shining stars within those companies as well. And I think if those people look at themselves as independent entrepreneurs, as your listeners do, we can have a major help for those people as well.
I'll tell you something else. Find the person in a big box company that acts like that, and I'll find the next small business owner.
Absolutely.
Stand by, folks. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Brad Houston. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. We'll be right back.
And the old years that
we are back. It's 54 After. Thank you for joining us. I've enjoyed being with you today. I'm Jim Blassingame, a Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the people who helps me do this on a reasonably regular basis is our good friend Brad Houston. He's with us this hour. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. He's the author of an outstanding weekly newsletter called Sales Insights. And Brad, I'd like for you to give us that phone number one more time. I want people to have a chance to order this newsletter.
The number again is 800-248-7703.
All right. You've also got some professional sales management courses that they can order there too, haven't they?
Yeah, we do. We have on audio tape and videotape some sales management courses and some salesmanship courses and a mystery shopper's kit, which is really kind of neat. And,
okay.
So we got lots available for them.
Good. One of the things I know you want to talk about as we wrap up the hour is something that I first heard. This example you talk about, gentlemen, this is a football. This reminded me of the story when the Green Bay Packers under the great coach and for some reason his name just left me.
Vince Lombardi.
Uh-huh. They just gotten their rear ends whipped and so he called all of his guys into the room for skull practice and you hear all these professional football players, and he holds up the football and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football."
Do you remember
what Jerry Kramer said to him?
No, I don't.
Jerry Kramer, the great offensive lineman, stood up in the back and said, "Coach, would you take it a little slower?" That's the story that's told on about that meeting.
Well,
and you talk about that in your sales training, don't you?
Yeah, well, that was the name of one of my sales insights recently, and it's, "Gentlemen, this is a football," meaning that every now and then it's time to get back to the basics and review, number one, what made you successful, and number two, what's going to keep you successful into the future. And I believe it's a back-to-the-basic sales philosophy of loving your customers and learning how to build personal trade, repeat business, and referral business, and building not just a business for today, but a business that you'll be proud of for many decades to come.
You know, over the years, and you've been in sales a long time. I have too, and I really feel like I've been in sales since I was a little kid, back in, you know, remembering some of the things that I used to do, and
mm-hmm.
and all the new wrinkles and angles. When I was with Xerox, they trained us in the professional selling skills, which is wonderful. It's absolutely some excellent basics. But before I left Xerox 6 years later,
They had completely changed their philosophy, and they were teaching people a whole new way of selling, which I never thought was good. I didn't think it was as good as the old way, but it was a new way. And there's all these new ways to teach people how to sell, but fundamentally it comes back to the basics, and that hasn't changed since people started selling, has it?
No, it certainly hasn't. There's some different nuances, and there's some different things that cause people to buy differently. I'm on a kick right now with time poverty issue, that we as Americans are suffering from time poverty, and the salesperson has to understand that and know how to react to it.
Yeah, but that's just a different angle on the same fundamentals, isn't it?
That's right, and it goes back to the fundamentals again, and if you know and you can understand the fundamentals, then you can get creative from there.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we mean by, gentlemen, this is a football. I know that Michael Jordan and John Elway and, you know, all the greats of the sports world, when they were at practice, they practiced the basic fundamentals.
Yeah.
And then they were able to enhance it from there.
Brad, thank you very much. That's going to be the last word. As always, you did a great job. Looking forward to having you back. We'll do it in about a month, if that's okay.
It's been my pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again, Jim.
Thank you, sir. See you later. Brad Houston, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD is his book. It's available online and at the online bookstores. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.